East Dome Farms. So, Gartner, welcome. So, like I've said to other submitters, we've read the original submission and also the written evidence that you put in, so thank you very much for that. You don't need to reread that out to us because we've already read that, but you're very welcome to speak to it and highlight key points for us.
I'm David Nind, of East Dome Farms. Our main concern is with the plan is Rule 23, which is the limiting the area of intensive grazing. In our case, it'll be to 50 hectares. Well, we feel that there's no science or logic behind these figures, and that having it set at and having it set at 50 hectares over the whole province or most of the province is there's no logic in that at all. Northern Southland is very disadvantaged in this plan, in that we have generally have lower yielding crops than the more fertile land around us here. We have lower stocking rates, and in Northern Southland we tend to stock up in the winter so that we can destock in the summer. And part of that, of our policy at home, is we fatten a lot of weaned deer and we have them gone by December to allow for the dry. Also, larger properties are really penalised from this 50 hectares. And an example of this is that our neighbours, we have one neighbour who has 5,000 hectares, and we've got another neighbour that has got 80 hectares, and one of our properties is 720 hectares, and we're all allowed the same. We've got another property up the road that's not adjoining, so they're titled, there's two separate properties, and we're allowed 50 hectares on each of them. If we were to buy the neighbours, we would be back to 50 hectares for the whole lot. So there's no logic and there definitely seems to be no science behind it to me. By bringing this in, we'll take the flexibility out of our business, and not being able to, in a poor year, returns or a change of expansion or forms of expansion, we cannot divert back to our grazing business. We believe it would be better, more logic, to work on a percentage basis, 12 to 15% being the threshold. And some of this is about because it's considered a good farming practice to at least regrass 10% of your farm per annum. And so by taking that, going back to 50 hectares, we're behind the eight ball before we start. And it also allows for extremes, so that if we have a poor crop, we can put some later crop in later on to catch up with it. We are all for the environment plan, but consenting, no. We feel that there won't be, if we have to come to consents, there won't be enough staff for Environment Southland to police it, and also it takes the flexibility out of our business. I also understand that this is to come in on the 30th of May 2018. This is to come in, we have 50 hectares to come in. We're in the process now of preparing ground for next year's crops and also signing contracts. So how are we going to stand there? And finally, over all this, no, it doesn't matter what form you look at it, this will affect the equity in our business. It'll affect value of land and will affect us greatly. Like I said, we're not against, we're all for the environment plan. I think it's a good method for our business to have a good hard plan, and also for succession, so that we've got it in writing, we know the the rest of the family know where we're aiming for and why that's being done. So I believe that that is the best way forward, and but consent's no. Thank you.
Thank you for that. It appears clear to me from your submission and your evidence that you understand that the 50 hectares as recommended to us, it's not an upper limit or a cap, it's merely a threshold above which resource consent is required. So you do understand that.
Yeah, I can do that, but that's at a cost, isn't it?
Yeah, so I just want to, and you mentioned one concern about consent, so you were worried that Environment South and might have not have enough staff to process them efficiently, but can you just further expand on the reluctance to gain a consent for your winter grazing operation?
Well, I think I've stated that, and that we would like more land than the 50 hectares. Yep. We'd like that flexibility.
Which you can get through
consent, yeah. But that consent, I might need to make that decision tomorrow. And if it's like any other consenting process around, it'll take time. And that takes our flexibility out of our business.
What if you only needed to get, what if you applied for a consent but it was lasting 10 or 15 years into the future?
Yeah, but that's not stated though, is it?
No, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean 10 or 15 years, that would be all right, long term.
Yeah, because a lot of other farmers in other parts of the country consider if they get a long duration consent of this nature, it actually adds value to their farm.
Correct, would do.
So you'd go along with that kind of concept. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's helpful. Thanks. Morris, any questions?
That's about that too, but as an alternative, you suggest there should be a 15% of the total farm without having to get a consent, but a 300 hectare cap. Can you tell me why you decided, first of all, on 15% and 300 hectares to be able to get one without a consent, notwithstanding that?
Well, I do see some very large grazing operations around, and they are farmed that way year in, year out. Mm. To me, I don't see that is sustainable. I think that it will probably fold anyway over time. But they are large scale,
yeah.
And I think if you're over a certain amount, and I mean, if you use, for example, my neighbour that's got 5,000 hectares, if he was to do 300 hectares, he would have to go for a consent. But I mean, that's what I'm looking at. I think it's
one other thing about the nutrient or the farm environment plan. You say it's a good starting point, etc. One of the requirements of that, if you've got some winter grazing and you're an intensive operation like that, is the need to have an overseer nutrient budget. Have you thought about that and whether or not that's a reasonable thing to have to do for a hill country farm that you've got?
Well, our properties, we've got four in total. Mm-hmm. So we aren't dairy grazing on our high country. We're dairy grazing on one flat property.
Oh, okay. So having a nutrient budget for that would
Yes. But for the high country, I mean, one property we don't put anything on, fertiliser or anything, so it's, you know, we wouldn't be any benefit.
Okay, good, thanks.
Yeah, sorry, to go back to the 300 hectares, you've got four properties. In total, do you do 300 hectares a year roughly, or?
No.
No. So the largest property would have, if it were, just want to understand what your requirements are annually roughly for intensive winter grazing.
Well, this 300 is not for my benefit, it's for the benefit for everyone.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Our property, our home property, East Dome, it does about 75 hectares. I think 75 hectares this year. And that's not all for dairy grazing. That's for our deer and our sheep as well.
So if a percentage of the large properties was applied, would 10% be something?
Be pardon?
Would a 10%
For extensive properties?
Yes.
Oh, I probably would be, but yeah, everyone to their own.
That's certainly a figure that we've been hearing. Yeah, thank you.
Here. Oh, just one question on para 19 of your second submission. You use the word revived in connection with plans under Appendix N. I was wondering if revived is the right word. Do you mean rolled over or continued or extended or
revived? Yes.
Or reviewed. What do you actually mean there? Revived would indicate something that's
done. Not reviewed, yeah.
Reviewed?
Yeah.
Good. I thought that's what you meant. Thank you.
Okay. Quite like your comments around the confidence of the consenting process, so that this is new for you and what it means and what the timelines are. So thank you for those comments, it's very helpful.
And I've already asked my question, so that's very good. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Peter McIntyre.